Okay, we're glad that everyone is here this evening. Those who are online are welcome. We'll begin by having a few moments of silent prayer, the option of naming privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your provision, for your protection. We're so thankful that you are in control of all things. And it looks like things are falling apart, but they're really coming together in your plan. We thank you for your word that we can understand the whole realm of doctrine because of the grace system of perception whereby we can understand the whole Bible. We just have to have positive volition. And we thank you for this time that we come together as a royal family to feed upon your word. And we pray that you will keep our minds open and help us to soak in every bit. We thank you for that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Our screen is a little squatty still. We're working on that, but I think that you can see that. Can you see that, Vidal, all right? Okay. I'll just have to scroll a little more, but that's all right. How's it look on the going out to them, okay? All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the human spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now, of course, I put in parentheses there the human spirit. And so one reason I came back to this verse, and I had to scroll a long ways because there's a lot of information between this verse and the verse we'll cover tonight. But one reason I came here is because what does it mean? And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead. So many times we see the word death or dead and we wonder what is it talking about? I think there's 7 or 8 different types of death. And the one for this particular verse is not too far down here. It's, let's see where it is. Here it is, right here. Now, this came from Joseph Dillo. I've given you this once, but I wanted you to hear it again because anytime it's talking about death related to flesh or our old sin nature, our body which is tainted with the old sin nature, and when it's referring to death, this is the best I've seen so far of having to something to define it. He says, quote, "It seems obvious that it is possible for brethren to die." And of course, everybody's going to die, but he's not talking about physical death here. And he says, brethren. So we're talking about believers. It seems obvious that it is possible for brethren, believers, to die. In some sense, a true Christian can experience spiritual death. We have to put this into the right perspective. When believers are not growing in grace and knowledge, when they are pretty much doing what they want to do and they're not paying much attention to God, in some sense, they can experience spiritual death. What is spiritual death? Spiritual death is being separated from God. And that's the last place you want to be. Because nothing good can happen when you're separated from God. We're born spiritually dead, but this isn't the same kind of spiritual death that it's talking about. And the spiritual death has nothing to do with losing your salvation or not going to heaven. That is ironclad. Nothing can change that. But we do get separated from God, and God essentially leaves us to our own devices to punish us. Now, sometimes he will add punishment to it. But when you don't pray, when you don't think about Bible doctrine, you're not reading the Bible, you're not going to church, you're not getting any input, then essentially you're living just like an unbeliever. In fact, a lot of believers, the way that they act, you can't tell from unbelievers. And it's because they are experiencing this somewhat like a spiritual death. It's as if God doesn't exist. They are still safe and sound with regards to their eternal destiny. They are going to be in heaven. But heaven is not going to be what it could be for them. Because they're not going to have any eternal rewards, decorations, privileges, these type of things aren't going to be theirs because of the way they acted on earth. He goes on to say, earlier in the context, he has defined death as the opposite of life and peace. Isn't that what we all want? That we all want an abundant life and peace? We don't want discord. We don't want war. We don't want all the things that this world is plagued with. We want just the opposite of that. And we see that in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. It's talking about life and peace. But that is not for those who are experiencing this, I guess you could call it a temporary spiritual death. It's not going to be for eternity like for unbelievers. It is therefore not to be equated with loss of salvation or hell. That's what I've been describing. But with emptiness, depression, and spiritual impoverishment. And those things are a lot larger and they loom over a person in a heavy way, the emptiness. The emptiness, I guess you could describe as having no purpose. And going through life with no purpose is, well, it's emptiness. And it won't be long before people who are separated from Christ by their own doing, and I'm talking about believers here, that they start feeling empty. What am I here for? I get up, I do my routine day after day after day. What is it really all about? Where is it going? Where am I headed? And then they start having doubts about everything. And that leads to depression. I don't know if I've ever been depressed or not. I guess there's been times I have, but if I have, they've been short-lived because I'm too busy to be depressed. I get angry. That's probably worse than being depressed. But in any case, depression is not a good thing. And then spiritual impoverishment. Only God knows how many people go to church or Bible class or just meet in a home, wherever it is, and there is spiritual impoverishment. They go and they sing the songs. They go ahead and bow their head when their prayer is going on. And when the message is being given, they might or might not be really paying attention. Their mind might be somewhere completely somewhere else. And so they're going through the motions. They're playing church. And that's what happens when you are, according to what we had up here, in verse 10, and if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin. And sin in the singular here is talking about our sin nature. And here's the neat thing about it, is that God has given us the choice of whether we're going to be experiencing this type of death by succumbing to our sin nature. Or there's an option, and that's what we've been looking at. We're all, I don't know about you, if you're excited, but I'm excited about giving the option in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. That's the law of the Spirit of life, as opposed to the trying to keep the law, which ends in sin and death, the kind of death that I just explained there. And so, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ is the other side of the coin to this. It's just the opposite of everything we saw here. Now I've got to scroll for a little bit. Let me get in high gear, see if I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. Remember this? I found this in Berean Call by Dave Hunt. And the question was, a popular theologian on radio states that in 1 Corinthians 6:19, when Paul speaks of the Holy Spirit being in us, he's using a figure of speech, and that the Holy Spirit is not spatially present within the believer. Isn't that enough to get your attention? When I saw that, I thought, whoop, I threw on the brakes. Because we use the term the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of Christ, the indwelling of God the Father. And when it's talking about, first of all, to say it's just a figure of speech is heresy. It is much, much more than a figure of speech. It is reality. And when it's talking about being spatially present within the believer, every one of us can do the best to try to metabolize what that's saying. What does it mean he's inside of us? Where is he inside of us? And how can we know? Is there a feeling? There's a lot of questions about that, which I don't think we need to know, or that we can even understand. If God told us about it, we might not be able to understand what that means. But we do know it means more that, well, he makes an illustration right here. He says, as one would say, my beloved ones will always be in my heart. Now, when we say that, we don't think in the sense, he's in this muscle we call the heart here. We know they're not in there. And a lot of people will reduce about this indwelling of the Godhead in us as being no more than, you know, God is in us and He loves us and He's in our heart. Well, that's not it either. So, he said, I always have believed that the Holy Spirit after the new birth literally abides within the believer in the same way that my soul and our spirit lives spatially within my body. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, obviously. It's a long thing, but it gets us to thinking. And this is the things we want to slow down, and at least for a time, take all the distractions and all the things that you have to do and you accomplish and whatever it may be. Sometimes we have to clear our mind just so we can think about things like this. And even if we don't come up with an answer, the exercise is advantageous to us. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to meditate about the things from above. And that's what we would be doing there. Okay, I'm going to do some more scrolling now. Okay, this was not last time. What was it? Yeah, this was last time. And we had the takeaways from the Berean Call reprints above. Let's see, what time is it? I think I'll skip these because we went over these before. There's some good things here. You ought to go over them. But I want to get here. And I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 16. That's where we're going to be planted there for a little while. And then we're going to go on to the next verse. And the next verse isn't any easier than the one we just came from. But we can't understand it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 16... the reason I'm giving you that is because it helps shed light on the law of the Spirit of life. I would surmise that if you went up to your friends or even a stranger, whoever you would go to, and you would ask them, can you tell me something about the law of the Spirit of life? What would they think? Wouldn't have a clue. And I know I, as well as you probably, would be pretty much in that same shape until we got to Romans 8, chapter 2. Huge verse, because this is the alternative to what probably 98% of the people do. And I'm talking about believers. They go to church, they do all these things, but they are trying to please God by keeping the law. And we saw in chapter 7, trying to keep the law is a disaster. We cannot do it. And it leads to the law of sin and death. And I just gave you an example of what the death would look like. So now we have an alternative. And it doesn't depend on us. It depends on who we are trusting. And in this case, it's the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say it doesn't depend on us, there's only one thing that really depends on us. What we've done in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and now we're on verse 10, what we found in between there is that we are responsible on whether we're going to live the abundant life, the spirit life, or whether we're going to fall back into our old wheel ruts of trying to work in order to please God. And I'm talking about believers. Now, we know that there's no good work and there is no law that we can keep that has anything to do with our salvation, but most people don't know that. Most believers, well, most of them go to churches where they teach from the English. And that when you teach from the English and you can't get into the original languages to see what's underneath that, that's just a commentary, essentially, if you're just teaching out of English. But when you teach from the original language, a lot of things appear and you see things in a different light. And if you're going to be accurate, you have to teach from the original languages. And this is what we're going to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 16. Here we go. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. So right off the bat, we see the word wisdom and we see the word mature. What does that tell us? He's talking to mature believers. And wisdom comes from the Bible, from Bible doctrine. Wisdom is greater than intelligence. Because people who are pretty dumb can be intelligent. Do you know what I'm talking about? When I was, how many years ago was this? I was a plumber at the time, and I was at the Shell, big, huge complex they had there, and they were trying in different things that with plastics and different things. And I was walking down the hall one day, and this woman walked by us. And when she walked by us, she was going like this. She did that. I said, oh! She did that, and then she went right back down. And I had one of the people that worked there. I said, what was that? I said, is she nuts? He said, no. She's a long ways from nuts. He says, when we have these things that we can't figure out, we turn it over to her. And she doesn't even use paper. She's thinking about through in her, whatever her rationale is, and trying to come to a conclusion that will help the Shell Oil Company. She clapped her hands like that. She was happy. And then she get right in there. And she said, she's a genius. He said, but she wears the same dress every day. It might be more than one, but they're all the same color. It looks the same every day. And if you ask her to go across to the grocery store and buy some bread, she has no idea how much it costs. For her, it might be $100. So she is intelligent. But that doesn't necessarily make you smart. But wisdom only God can give. Remember Solomon, when he took over to be king? And God said to Solomon, I'll give you anything that you want. You name it. And what did he ask? He asked for wisdom. And God said, because you didn't ask for wealth or glory or victory over your enemies, you only asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you all those other things as well. And he did, in spades. And so when we're talking about wisdom, it's not just that somebody's smart. Wisdom is what is God imparts to us that is more precious than gold or silver or anything else. And you can only get it from God's Word, that type of wisdom. And look at it. In four times here in just these few verses, I have it highlighted for you. So it says, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. So the wisdom that is going to be unveiled here, no one knew about. No one in the Old Testament. And there was about 450 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament where there was, it's just blank, nothing was going on then with that the Bible records. And then Christ comes upon the scene 33 years, somewhere along in there. And then the epistles are starting to be written. And here you have Paul mentioning something that no one has ever known, that he is privileged enough to reveal. So he's talking about a wisdom not of this age or the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. Look, there's more wisdom down here. So what he's saying is this wisdom is not something that you can read, you can learn. It's something that is given by God, and He reveals it at a specific time for a particular motive that is actually only for church-age believers. In this dispensation that's around 2,000 years old at this point, He decided, at this point, I'm going to give them the mystery that has existed since before the beginning of time. He says, this hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. And I went over this last time about the predestined, and I talked about predestined, foreordained, all these type of words are talking about the omniscience of God. He knows everything. And there's a subtitle or a subpart of that which is His foreknowledge. And the foreknowledge is related to the decrees that were made even before the earth began, before He created the earth. And this foreknowledge was decreeing what was going to take place. Now, it's in what's the word? There are innumerable things that could have happened when He created the heavens and the earth. And God could tell you every one of them. There might be billions of things. God could have done it this way. He could have had this. Could have had that. All that. And those are all possibilities. But He separated all the possibilities which He knew was going to come to pass. And so He says, this wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, and this is taken from Isaiah 64:4, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, I'm reviewing this. We went over this last Thursday. But this is so important. I think you need to hear it again. Because this has a lot to do with the Spirit of life. And so, when I used to read that, or hear that, I was thinking, okay, well, we can't understand all the phenomenal things that God is going to have for us. Those of us who love Him, we can't even in our mind is so small compared to what He has waiting for us. And I think that is correct. I mean, that's not wrong thinking. That is accurate. But it's not what He's talking about here. Because look what He says in the next verse. For to us, God revealed them through the Holy Spirit. So whatever He's talking about is so great, can't even enter into the mind of man, the ears, haven't seen it. All this, He says, that God has revealed them through us, through the Spirit, and He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, what is He talking about? What we'll see is He's talking about what we've been studying, which is the law of the Spirit of life. And the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals it. He says, for the Holy Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the human spirit? We are dichotomous when we're born, body and soul. When we are born again, we acquire a human spirit, which we must have to understand spiritual things and have a relationship with God. So, for who among men knows the thoughts of man except the human spirit of the man which is in him? You know yourself better than anybody else. Would you agree to that? I think that's a given, right? That's essentially what this is saying. The human spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. What he's doing is comparing our spirit to knowing us, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, knows the things of God, is what he's saying here. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. This would be an activating principle influencing a person. In other words, we could... He's not talking about the spirit of the world, and it's a principle that works in a person that influences them, but not for good, but for ill. But the Holy Spirit, who is from God, that we might know, and might know is a perfect active subjunctive, means that this is something that happens in a point of time in the past, and the results of that act or of that decision goes on and on, and it's in the subjunctive mood. That's when he says that we might know. Now, the reason that might is there because it's showing us and it's referring about our will. We have free will. God has given us the ability to choose. So, but the Holy Spirit is from God that we might know the things freely given to God. And you don't have... The reason it's subjunctive mood and just a potential is because some people will know it. They want to know it. We say they have positive volition. But most people, and even believers, don't have to know it. And they have other things that are more important than knowing the things that God freely gives to us. Verse 13. The things that we, Paul and his followers are the one talking about, also speak not in words by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Holy Spirit. He is our mentor, our teacher, combining spiritual and thoughts, and I have here pneumatikos, with spiritual pneumatikos, with words. Now, all they have there in the Greek is combining spiritual with spiritual. And you have to fill in essentially what that is talking about. And so he's talking about combining spiritual thoughts. When you think and you understand what it is, then it results in words. And then I have here that this is a parenthetical thing here. Spiritual thoughts produce spiritual words. Example, redemption, justification, sanctification, imputation, baptism, and so forth. And you can't grow to spiritual maturity without knowing what these words are. You have to develop a biblical vocabulary in order to grow to spiritual maturity. And that's what we are left here to do, is to grow to spiritual maturity, because that glorifies God. And you don't reach spiritual maturity by the things that you do. You reach that by the things that you learn and the things that you apply. Because God is the one that is doing all the doing. He enables us to do all these things, but leaves it up to us. Are you going to be a believer that is spiritually illiterate? Or do you want to really have a close relationship with God and all the rewards and decorations and privileges and everything that go with it in eternity? I'm not going to go to the ESV version to show a difference. But anyway, verse 14. But a natural man, the psychikos man, the soulish man, the unbeliever, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because he's spiritually dead. He has no human spirit. He can't understand spiritual phenomenon unless you have a human spirit, with one exception. Whenever we give the gospel to someone that is a spiritually dead unbeliever, it is the Holy Spirit that takes up the slack. And in that particular instance, will enable that unbeliever to understand the spiritual phenomenon of the gospel, so that he will be able to make a decision, yes, I'm going to accept that, or no, I'm not going to accept it. So again, we have here their foolishness to him and cannot understand them. He's spiritually dead because they are spiritually appraised. They're examined. You have to examine spiritual things, but you have to have a human spirit at least to be able to understand them. That's why you don't talk to unbelievers about all the other things they want to talk about. You zero in on the only thing that he can understand spiritually, and that's the gospel. But he who is spiritual appraises or examines present, active, indicative. He keeps on examining all things, yet he himself is appraised or judged by no one. We're not to judge each other, and especially what kind of stupidity is it for an unbeliever to judge a believer? They're not even saved. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Anybody want to volunteer to go instruct the Lord? No takers? I think not. But we have the mind of Christ, which is Bible doctrine. Now I want to do something here, see if this is going to work. Okay, let's see what this is going to do. Is it not going to come up at all?
Yeah,
it did? Huh? Oh, is that what it's doing? Is it coming up yet? Huh? It is over there? Now what? Okay. Well, I gave it a shot, y'all. The what? Oh, okay. There it is. Hi. Oh, ye of little faith. Okay. I saw this probably, I don't know, 40-something years ago. And what this is doing is explaining what we're talking about when he says the spiritual thoughts into words, spiritual words. Now, this was by R.B. Thiem Jr. at Baraka Church. This is what he came up with, which is helps us to see something that's just ethereal out there. And the reason he has Z, because the way he's got it looks like Zorro. Yeah, y'all ever watch Zorro? You remember how it started? Like that? I think about that every time I see the Z in Operation Z. Anyway, it all starts off with logos, the word, and taught by a PT, that would be a prepared pastor teacher. That's where Operation Z starts. And there's a lot of believers that don't even get that far. So you have a pastor teacher teaching the word and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, when I'm talking about words, a lot of them have to do with spiritual things. And the only reason that you can understand those is because of what's happening here. The teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit takes the words that I'm saying and they go to your pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, which is human spirit. See, so you have to have a spirit or you can't even understand these things. And then from the human spirit, again, they are automatically transferred by the Holy Spirit to the... By the way, pneumatikos. Remember the words that I had by spirit just a moment ago? Remember those? Comparing the spirit with the spirit, spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. That's the same thing here. That's what's being transferred down here to the nous. The nous is the mind. And we call it gnosis. Gnosis is talking about your mind, and gnosis is what a person, when he gets information, he can metabolize that in the sense that he can understand it. Your mind can understand the information. Information understood. Okay, so you got this coming around this way, and now it's fine. It's reached your mind. You understand it. What are you going to do with it? Now, I don't know. I'm so glad that I don't know what people are thinking. Because there are people out there, and maybe online, they might even be gone by now and saying, I had enough of this. Or else they're thinking, when is this going to be over? I mean, I don't know what they're thinking. And some people might be really, this is good, I want to hang on to this. But they're either going to decide that they're going to believe it, or they're not going to believe it. Now, there's two things that can happen. If they don't believe it, then it ends. If you're not interested in something, are you going to remember it? No. And if you think, well, I don't believe that. See, there's a difference between something and you think, well, I'm not interested in that, so I'm just going to forget it. I'm going to go elsewhere. Or if you believe it or not is the other issue. Now, if you don't believe it, that's where it dies, right here. And you're a believer up here. You got a human spirit, and it's been taught to you. But if you're not interested in it, or if you don't believe it, it dies. No benefit to you whatsoever, even though the Holy Spirit, it went through your spirit down here to know it. Now, but if you do believe it, you're interested in it and you believe it, then it goes over here. Again, transferred by faith through the Holy Spirit to your cardia. K-A-R-D-I-A. And the heart. The heart is the dominant portion of your soul. And so we see here, it goes to the heart, and then it's called epignosis. This is just gnosis. This is your mind. But epignosis here, is the Bible calls it full knowledge. You had knowledge over here. You didn't care about it. It was gone. But when it's transferred over here to the heart because you believed it, you were interested in it and you believed it, that means it becomes epignosis knowledge, and it's information that you believe. And the Holy Spirit takes that information and it plants it somewhere in your mind. It's there. Now, if over here, if you don't care about it, it never implants into your mind or your brain. I think really that for all these doctors, everything that you have learned and you believe, it's there in your brain. There's some little spot in there that it is anchored to. And whenever you are talking to an unbeliever and maybe you're trying to give them the gospel or something, that particular situation will call upon this epignosis knowledge that is there. You believed it. It's long-term memory. And you don't have to take any pills. The Holy Spirit will draw that out so that you can give the gospel. So that's what we're talking about when I said in the verse that we're looking at in 1 Corinthians that the spirit, thoughts, spirit, spiritual thoughts, and then the next thing you see is spiritual words. Over here is the critical time. This is spiritual. The spiritual thoughts come down here and they are understood by the mind because the Holy Spirit is helping them understand it as a believer. But if they don't care, if it's just a spiritual thought and it never comes over here and turns into spiritual words where you can use them, they never were metabolized, they never got over here as information, long-term memory. Don't you want something that's long-term memory and you don't have to struggle to remember it? That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, is when you have that planted in your mind because you heard doctrine and you accepted it, it's there. We don't know how, we don't feel it. Have you ever talked to somebody and you were talking about spiritual matters, about heaven or about the gospel or whatever it may be, and the words just came out and you didn't have to think about it? Has that ever happened to you? Well, what was that? That's what the long-term memory, because it became full knowledge, epinosis knowledge. Epi means full. There it was. And listen, if you haven't experienced that, I hope you do, because it's a phenomenal thing. That's God, how He gets the Word to us. Okay. I just thought I would throw that up there. Most of you may have, probably have already seen it, but I thought it was appropriate to put there for what we were looking at. Now let's see if I can get it out of here. Okay, it worked. Surprise, surprise. Okay, so when we were talking here about, but those taught by the Holy Spirit combining spiritual, there's that word that was transferring it across, pneumatikos, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And see, I say the words are things that are of a biblical nature. Okay, we're done with that. Let's get on down here. Verse 11. We had a lot in verse 10, didn't we? That's why I went to review, so that 2 weeks from now, somebody said, what were you learning back there in that verse? What was it? I don't even remember the verse. What are you talking about? This will help you remember it. The best teacher of remembering things is repetition. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Now, I hope you have space where you can put the things in here to make this verse understandable, because it needs help. I mean, I don't mean God didn't do it right, but the way it is given has some things that need to be explained. So Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I'm just going to read it first of all without any of the parentheses. And it says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. Kind of like a puzzle, isn't it? But now I'm going to read it this time with the parentheses in it. First of all, it says, but if is a first-class conditional clause, meaning if and it's true. So you could say, instead of if, you could say since the Spirit of Him. Now this is God the Father who raised Jesus, and it was, I have Romans 6:4, Ephesians 1:20. Down here I have some more verses that it is God the God the Father that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Now Christ had the power to do it, but He didn't use it because He wanted to depend upon God the Father and the Holy Spirit. So, but if the Spirit of Him, God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead, I have the dead crossed out, and I have here deaths. That's plural, and they made it singular. In the Greek, it's it's plural. So, who raised Jesus from deaths, and the deaths were spiritual death and physical death. Which one did He die first? Just to have it in order here. He died spiritually first, and His mission had been completed, and it was successful, so then He gave up His Spirit. They didn't take it from Him. He was able to do that Himself. So, God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead, spiritual and physical. So he says, if the Spirit of God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and this is a present active indicative, meaning he keeps on dwelling in you, there will never be a time that he doesn't dwell in you. He, again, this time referring to to God the Father, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Now that's singular. Will also give life to your mortal bodies through His. Now, I have to explain this. This is referring to the Holy Spirit. And one reason I know it's the Holy Spirit, and it's not talking about about God here. Well, I know God is the Holy Spirit. But it's a personal pronoun, third person, genitive, singular, masculine. And so it's the third person. It can't be talking to God because it says if he who raised Christ is talking about the Holy Spirit who indwells you. So let's go over this again. This is not an easy verse, but it's important for us to understand it anyway. Let's go. Are you looking at your verse? Look at it. But since the Spirit of Him, God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead, spiritual and physical, dwells in you, and this doesn't mean maybe He does and maybe He doesn't. He does. He's talking to believers here, and He does dwell in you. He, God the Father, who raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His, the Holy Spirit, who indwells you. Let me give you a few verses here to kind of clarify this. In Romans chapter 6:4 is related to this. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism. What does that mean? Baptism means identification, and is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that identified us with Jesus Christ, which is huge. So, in that sense, because we were identified with Christ, when He was buried, we were buried as well. In order that Christ raised from the dead, here is, again, death. In order that as Christ was raised, aorist passive indicative, in a point of time, He received it. See, the passive voice, it's not active that He was active in raising Himself. He could have, but He depended on the Father and the Spirit. In order that as Christ was raised from death through the glory of the Father, is the Father He's talking about here who raised Him, so we too might walk in newness of life. Our identification with Christ being buried, it was the Father who raised Christ from the dead, so we too might walk in newness of life. This is aorist active subjunctive. We might and we might not. So when Christ was buried, in a retroactive sense, we were buried as well. And why were we buried with Him? So that we might walk in newness of life. That has to do with the Holy Spirit, newness of life. You see that? So when we're up here looking at this, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and He does, then He, God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. How does this last part go? From this, through the glory of the Father, so we might walk in newness of life. Newness of life is talking about our mortal bodies receiving something spiritual. This is the thing that most people think when they hear this. Who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. What do you think when Christ rose from the dead and God the Father will also give to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. In other words, they think that this is talking about when we are going to be resurrected physically. You got that? And that's true. It fits that He is going to be the one who's there and resurrects us. But this isn't talking about a resurrection. Let me just get down here where I've explained this a little bit. There are several people who believe that life, see up here, from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. You see that right there? And most people go, okay, that's talking about when, for us, when Jesus Christ returns at the rapture, then He's going to give our mortal bodies the life of the resurrection body. And a lot of people think that that's what that is. And it refers to the coming of Jesus Christ when we will receive our resurrection bodies. And I'm just going to read this before the verses. These verses describe what will happen to every church age believer as they receive a resurrection body that doesn't seem to fit with the context of what Paul was teaching. In other words, these verses, look at these two verses right here. 1 Corinthians 6:14. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise up through His power. You think about the resurrection, right? Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:14. Knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. That is talking about the Lord raising us up, and that's talking about the resurrection that we all know will occur when Jesus Christ returns. Y'all all understand that. And that is true. But what I'm saying here is that the context as a reference to the renewal of one's life in the present. He doesn't seem to be speaking of the last resurrection, but of a continual operation of the Spirit in which He gradually mortifies the remains of the flesh and gives us the power we need to have a spiritual vigor in our lives. So when it look at this one more time, we're just about done with that. I'm out of time. But when it says, He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. He gives it what? Life. So what I'm saying is this is not in the context. He's not talking about what's going to happen in the future about the our resurrection body. He is saying that there wasn't a resurrection infused into us with life through the Holy Spirit. And that is the Spirit of life in Christ. Are you beginning to see this? I know it's not easy. I don't know if I'm doing that well. But I wanted to at least give you a taste. See some of these things I left out. Let's look at Colossians 2:2. It's talking to believers. Believers having been buried with Him, Jesus Christ, in baptism, which was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was identified with Christ, in which you were also raised up with Him, Jesus Christ, through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. We were raised up, but we weren't resurrected then, but we were raised up from the dead in the sense that we were in the sin and death of trying to keep the law. And that's what we were raised from. Do I see any light bulbs going on out there yet? Let's try Romans 4:24. But for our sake also, to whom it, God's righteousness, will be reckoned, as those who believe in Him, God the Father, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Verse 25, He, Jesus Christ, who was delivered up because of our transgression and was raised because of our justification. Now that is talking about the Lord, why the Lord was, he says he was delivered up Now, when he says delivered up here, let me go over this one more time. But for our sake, who is that talking about? Believers. To whom it, referring to righteousness, imputed righteousness, will be reckoned as those who believe in Him, God the Father, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He, Jesus Christ, who was delivered up. What does that mean, delivered up? He was delivered up to the cross. He was the one that paid the penalty because of our transgression and was raised because of our justification. One more. Ephesians 1:20. Which He, God the Father, brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. So, all these things are talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ out of the tomb. Okay? And what I'm saying is, all that is true, and we know that, but it doesn't fit the context when He's been talking about, for so many verses, about the Spirit of life. And so, one more time, this last thing I'm going to say. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus, or be God the Father, from death, dwells in you, and He does, He, God the Father, who raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies. In a spiritual sense. He's not talking about physically that what is going to happen at the end of the church age. This is a kind of a resurrection that we receive because look what how it ends. Through His, talking about the Holy Spirit, who indwells you. This life that's given to your mortal body comes through the Holy Spirit who indwells you. Is it beginning to, you beginning to see it? Well, I'm going to quit fighting now. Yeah. The mortal bodies we still have our mortal bodies, but it's infused with life through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to try to have better notes. See, there is another way to look at the phrase give to your mortal bodies than receiving resurrection bodies. When a believer stops relying on keeping the law to please God and starts to rely on the Holy Spirit's power, then he receives an infusion of spiritual life and power that previously was not experienced. That's what we're talking about. Well, Right. Our mortal body. Don't we still have our mortal bodies now?
Yes.
What happened? That didn't go away? There you go. We still have our mortal bodies. But our mortal bodies are not the same because when it says He will give life to our mortal bodies, it's that infusion of spiritual life that we didn't have once before because we were too busy over there trying to keep the law. And now I'm past time, so I have to quit talking. Okay, let's close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for these things that you have given to us through the Apostle Paul. And it's hard for us to imagine some of these things or to understand them. Because they're ethereal. They're something we can't get our... they're not concrete. They're concepts. But they are just as real as anything could be. So we pray that you will open our minds and help us to think about these things. Because we should be all so thankful for what you're covering here. And that we have no more just a mortal body. But a mortal body infused with life from the Holy Spirit, because we find now that is the antidote to trying to keep the law, which ends in sin and death. And now we have the Spirit of life, and we are so thankful for it. So we pray that you will help us to understand these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.